Today on Real Radio.
It's the difficult things. Look, some of you are unemployed. Some of you are battling depression. Some of you are battling existence. Some of you are, whatever it is, do you understand? You are experiencing, Book of James, your fiery trial in life. And how you come through that proves your faith. This is tough stuff, you guys. This is reality.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Today on Real Radio, Pastor Jack, along with Pastor Morgan, continues the Worldview Series by taking time to answer questions sent in by listeners who want to know how to apply these controversial and sensitive topics to their own personal lives. From creation to government issues, from paying taxes to how and if we should vote, and from dating and sexuality to the painful act of suicide, Pastor Jack brings us back to the power of God's Word and its impact on society today. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
First of all, regarding when does life begin, or something like that? Okay, again, this is one of those questions that our culture has fed us. You never would have thought of this, that concept in your own head. It is such a native part of our thinking that we think we thought of it on our own. I got news for you. It was implanted into your brain and mine when? You know how Satan came, by the way, to Adam and Eve? Or Eve, I should say. What did he say? Hath God said? Right? He came to undermine what was known by them commonly, right? So when somebody says, when does life? That's supposed to be a snake voice. Sorry. When does life begin? That is one of the stupidest questions ever. Because if you are a biologist, a chemist, if you're a nurse or a doctor, you know what you already know? You know something. You know that the sperm by itself, is it dead or alive? It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. The egg, is it dead or is it alive? Life has been there. It's already there. It's there. It's there before there's a collision. It's there before there's fertilization. Life, meat, replication begins. We're asking the wrong question at the wrong time. It's all full of life. Once it takes place, regarding in vitro, what is the dilemma is if you're going to do this, you disregard, or nowadays, the disregarded fertilized egg is put up for scientific research and things like that. And what is the answer? Is it an abortion, or is this? That's a very tough question. Personally, you're not going to like my answer. And look, I love you. This is where I'm at in my infancy as a Christian. Here's my answer. The Bible says that God opens and closes the womb according to his will. There are people who can't get pregnant, and they get pregnant through artificial insemination. I would never judge that, and I don't have a up vote or a down vote on it. I leave that in the hands of God, okay? Lisa and I were convicted and convinced we could not get pregnant early on, and it really began to worry us. We fasted and prayed. We really got concerned. But we were under the conviction that if the Lord wants it to happen, he knows exactly what he's doing, and we'll get pregnant. If we don't get pregnant, then maybe we'll adopt. And we left the outcome to God. Now, maybe many of you have done the in vitro, and that's how you got pregnant. You've got a wonderful baby boy or baby girl, and life was wonderful. Awesome. For me personally, my conviction is it does concern me about the disposing of a fertilized egg. For this, my reasons are purely theological. I understand the scientific part of it. That's a done deal. It was life before it was fertilized. So the issue becomes, to get one child, do we throw away 500 children? See, our culture says, who cares? It's just nothing. I understand that, but you can't tell that to a scientist. A scientist will tell you, that little nothing you just threw in the trash can is just as technically advanced and powerful and and meaningful as if it lived to be 99 years old on the scientific level. You see, it becomes an ethical, moral issue, doesn't it? So you have to be convinced in your own heart and your own mind, and just leave it at that. That's a tough thing to answer. Be personally convinced, and let the Lord lead you in that.
Okay, this is on the topic of suicide. And by the way, with that last question, I appreciate you giving a definitive answer of where you stand on it, because I don't know anyone else that's really squaring off with that. Even the president wouldn't go there on that topic, and so good for you. Okay, suicide. I had friends that both died. He beat her to death and took a gun and shot himself afterwards. I went to church with them for many years and heard both their testimonies for many years. He lost his job and they moved and seemed to lose their way. In retrospect, I believe that they are in heaven. Would I be wrong? What about Whitney Houston? I heard her interviewed and her testimony on several occasions. Is she with the Lord?
Okay, first of all, I have a great luxury right now, and I want to keep it this way so that you all get an honest answer. Tragically, it's going to be at someone's expense, okay? You understand what I just said? I don't know who asked this question. It's a horrible situation to live through. If I heard you right, because it's kind of hard to hear up here, that there was a man and a woman, and he lost his job, apparently depressed, whatever, but he beat her to death and then shot himself? But the writer said, but I believe they're in heaven. Okay, I have to ask you this question. On what grounds do you believe they're in heaven? Why do you believe that? How did you come to that conclusion that they're in heaven? You see, like many things in our lives, our emotions begin to dictate theology. What you're really saying is, I want them to be in heaven. It is true that there's no sin that will keep you out of heaven except the rejection, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a fact that will keep you out of heaven forever. The honest, brutal truth is this. You don't know where they're at. And I would be a very terrible pastor if I told you, oh, don't worry about it because they're probably in heaven. Why? Because they went forward at the crusade, or they raised their hand, or they owned Bibles, or they went to church sometimes. That's not how you get to heaven, guys. My emotions want to tell you that they're in heaven so that you'll feel better. My theology says, the Bible teaches me, you don't know. I don't know. If we apply other portions of Scripture that says you'll know them by their fruits, the Bible says that no murderer inherits heaven. We would come back emotionally and say, well, how many people do you have to murder before you're a murderer so that you don't inherit heaven? You see what I'm saying? This is a tough thing. And then on top of the fact that the man himself, the man beats someone to death, his wife, beat her to death, which is premeditated murder. You might accidentally hit somebody the first time, but the second hit is premeditated murder. It's a manslayer. And then he kills himself? This is a very horrible, tragic situation. The truth is you have no idea if they're in heaven or not. But let me just say this, that for all of us, me, you, us, we really don't know what we're really spiritually made of until we are put in the crucible of fire. You guys, this is why we have to have trials. None of us sign up for trials. None of us want a trial. But do you understand something? Without a trial, you and I will never know if we have real, true, saving faith. It's the difficult things. Look, some of you are unemployed. Some of you are battling depression. Some of you are battling existence. Some of you are, whatever it is, do you understand? You are experiencing, Book of James, your fiery trial in life. And how you come through that proves your faith. This is tough stuff, you guys. This is reality. Whitney Houston, let me ask you something. Honestly, I'm not being rude right now. What evidence do you have that Whitney Houston's in heaven? Have you noticed, have you watched since Whitney Houston committed, is it official suicide or they're not sure yet? They're not sure yet. Let's assume for a second it's a suicide. Have you noticed that the world, Hollywood, have you noticed how quick, instantly they were to announce, thank God Whitney's in heaven. Instantly, they don't know much, but they know this, Whitney's in heaven. And they had a service with Christians in the service. They had Christians doing the service. Okay, that's great. But they never announced, and they wouldn't announce, how a person gets to heaven. When we are emotionally caught up with somebody, we have a tendency to put the best light on it. The Whitney Houston situation is a tragedy. I don't know. I have no knowledge. I'm not qualified to say if she was a Christian or not. I didn't know her. Probably you didn't know her. But we need to be very careful. What we want to say is... Now that sounded like Clarence getting his wings. You guys, what we say we are means absolutely nothing. And I don't know. Remember, I don't know her. I don't know. But what we say we are has no bearing in eternity. None. See, in life, we can tell people anything about us, and they're suckers enough to believe it. Men are duped constantly. We all are duped by appearance. God says, I will look at your life, and then I will tell you what you are. Read Revelation 22 again. How you live matters, friends. You just can't run around saying, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, and live like hell and expect to go to heaven. It is impossible. Even the thief on the cross turned from his wicked ways. Okay, that's a very sad thing to have to answer.
Okay, I've got one last question for you. And actually, as the worship team come out, I'd love it if you could not just answer this question, but maybe expand on it. The Worldview series has addressed things like abortion, even adoption, sexuality, suicide. It's taken topics which have touched probably some of the most deepest parts of our own conviction and our own experiences, and there's probably a lot of really deep hurt attached to all these things. And as I saw the questions come in, I could actually just see a lot of pain, and they're asking this for a reason, and they're trying to get some kind of clarity. And the question here is, my friend wants to commit suicide, and I have no clue. I have no clue what to say to them. And I think a lot of people here maybe have a version of something they're trying to come to terms with in their own heart, and seeing how does God fit into what I've done, what I'm going through, and how I'm feeling. What has God got to say on this? Does he speak to this? And is there hope on this?
Wow. On Sunday, in one of the messages, because they're all a little bit different, you know. On Sunday past, I had said this in one of the messages, that for many people, we don't see God until we come to the end of ourselves, because we're too much in the way. And the upside to a very depressed situation is that when we come to the end where we don't know when the next penny is going to come, or the next full breath of air is going to fill our lungs because we can't breathe deep anymore, or we can't have one more sane relationship, everything seems to be broken in life, and you just come to that point where your jaw is tense, you're grinding your teeth, your temples are about to explode, and your body is just reeked with stress. And the thought enters your mind, I'm just going to end it all. Stop right there, my friend. Stop right there and think this through. Regarding the situations of your life now that's brought you to this point, you're not the innocent one in the party also. There's things that we've all done wrong. You're not guilt-free. Not all of your decisions have been right. You've been brought to a place where now you hate life. Fact is, you hate your life. In fact, if you could do it different, or have a chance to do it different, or if a life raft would descend from a cloud and give you the chance to get out of it without death, you'd take it. When we lose sight of God, then we end our lives. Suicide is the result of no hope. That's why somebody can commit suicide. They can battle cancer for 30 years, but the moment they lose hope, they die within seconds. Did you know that? If you lose hope, you will walk out onto the freeway, you'll go onto the Metrolink, you'll put a gun to your temple. When you lose hope, you end it. To lose hope is to lose the presence of God. My argument to you is this right now. God gave you life. Yes, it's true. Maybe we, maybe a group, maybe it's just ourselves. We've ruined it. We've crashed it. If you can hear me right now, and if you're drawing breath, man, I think of the thousands of people. You know, we have 40,000 people here on a Wednesday night through the web. Can you imagine the other end of this camera that there are people, they just said, I'm going to end it. I've lost everything. I'm going to end it. Listen, first of all, I want to encourage you in a backhanded way. You don't have the authority to end it. Who do you think you are? God gave you life. You came into this world, and it may have been a horrible ride. I understand that. But the reason why it's been a horrible ride is because people around you and or you yourself didn't do it God's way. And God is saying to you right now, I want you to do it my way. Put down the gun or get off the bridge or take the pills away and give God the chance. You've given everything or everyone else a chance, but you did not give God a chance. And you might say, well, I went to church once. Don't do that. Call, cry to Him. Call out to Him. What we do at this church is not a business. It's not a show. Quite frankly, none of us need this job. I mean that. We don't do this because somebody told us to go to school and do this. I can't speak for any other church, but I can speak for this church. We don't need this for our income. We don't need this for our stroke or ego. Why we do this is because God is real. And if He were not real, I would be the first to quit today. I could have an easier life. I could get more vacation time and be paid a whole lot better. I want you to think about that. He's real. And because He's real, there's hope for you. Jesus Christ came from heaven. I wouldn't have left heaven for nothing. But that's because I'm a human. He came from heaven and was rejected before He was ever born. The pregnancy of His mother, which didn't we read again today? In our daily Bible reading? Amazing, isn't it? Mocked, ridiculed, all this stuff. Born into this world, and before He could even nurse, He had to flee with His parents for His life. Never accepted. He was never welcomed. 33 and a quarter years, lived His life in constant rejection. Stayed at it, stayed with it, to submit to the will of the Father to save us. I would have never done such a thing. Let humanity go straight to hell. They're not worth it. But I'm not God. Aren't you glad? He came because the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, if you would believe on Him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. Every sin, any sin could be forgiven. So, do I hope and pray? Let me rephrase that. It's worthless, impossible to pray about it now. It doesn't apply. Would it have been great if Whitney Houston would have said, Jesus, I'm so messed up, I'm so scared, I'm so derailed. I'm just going to take a couple sleeping pills and lay down for a little bit, and I'll talk to you in the morning. And she died? That would be great. I hope that happened. I can't pray about that anymore because that's done. Look, you're not Whitney Houston. And you're not on the other end of eternity. My goodness, you guys. Did you know that even tonight, Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, Did you want to know something? Do you know that their theology tonight is better than yours and mine? They know who Jesus is now. They know what the Bible says now, and they missed it. They know that there's a heaven, and they're not there. Please, call out to Jesus Christ. Give your heart to him. And my God is the God who rescues people at the 11th hour. He is awesome to save you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray for those who have asked these questions, and I would thank a whole host of others who didn't get a chance. But Lord, the glorious thing about this is that you are the God who answers. And there's no other God in all the world. There's none other. And so tonight we pray that if there's some here right now, those watching online right now, that have never said yes to Jesus, that you would say so now. My friends, right where you're at, here in this sanctuary or beyond, I'm going to ask you to pray right now. And you would say, "Dear Lord Jesus, please, I'm asking you in the desperation of my soul to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you right now, God, to take my grief, my pain, my sorrow, the awareness of the fact that I have sinned against a holy living God, the sense that I am responsible for Jesus being crucified is now ever before my eyes. And I'm asking you, God, in the name of Jesus, your Son, to forgive me of my sins, to wash them away, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to make me a brand new person, to give me a second chance at life. That from this moment on, you would take possession of my life and that I would live it for your glory." If you've prayed that prayer tonight here in this sanctuary or beyond, we want you guys to get a hold of us. We want you guys to get in contact with us. Here in the sanctuary, you can grab Bibles, take them with you, and start reading them. They're new believers' Bibles, and they get you started. Everything you need is in them. And if you're with us right now on internet television, then you can write us or email us by going to the link that's in association with this program. And we'd love to find out where you're at and how we can begin getting you plugged in or discipling you in the name of Jesus. Believe tonight that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave for your justification. This is the God of life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a Q&A session on our current series, the Worldview Series, it's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Thanks for listening. It's our hope that you can apply these answers to your world and that you can continue to take a stand for righteousness at every opportunity in your life. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, meanwhile, did you know that this ministry has an app? It's called the Real Life app. It's for your smartphone or tablet, and did you know it's a free download? Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. Now, did you know that with this one app, you can access Real Radio, Pastor Jack's program on Sirius XM if you'd like, Real Life Devotions, which you hear us talk about quite often. The list seems to go on and on. Just download that app and you'll see. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Also, don't forget to visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.